I would probably prefer to be sitting down here somewhere and to someone else preach, but God has called me today, and I want to be faithful. There were a number of subjects that I was thinking about, and one verse that I was thinking about definitely was the verse found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And as Josiah was praying, he mentioned the idea of the introspection, and now what shall we do? And maybe that would have been a good subject. But the Lord laid on my heart a different one. It has to do with missions, the mission of the church. And I feel a bit like I have a few little loaves that need to be multiplied by the Lord. God is able to do that. This was something I've done some years ago, and so I'm glad for Josiah's prayer that he prayed that I would not be nervous and I'd be able to clearly present what I have. I must confess that recently I've been struggling a lot with pain in my back, and so that takes away the ability to actually think a lot of times. Not only that, Yegor has been at our house tearing out some kitchen, and right now we're walking on concrete instead of wood floor, and we're trying to juggle things around in our kitchen so that we can actually live. But I told Karen, you know, the tiny house concept, we have that in our office right now. And but let's get started here. Hopefully everything will work. Is it on here? Let me try it. Okay, mine shows up. Maybe I can... It's on my computer. Will that... It's coming? Okay. As soon as it'll come. I'm starting out with the idea of in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, okay, there we are. I have new glasses as well, and they don't work quite as good as my old ones. So, not going to worry about anything like that. Missions must be God-centered and not man-centered. Sometimes we have a problem with getting our cart before the horse. We think that man is the important person in all of this because we are people. And so we tend to focus on ourselves. But really, in the beginning, it was God that created the heavens and the earth. It was God that put man here on this earth. It was God that breathed into man the breath of life. And it was Satan who came in and destroyed the relationship. At least he was an instrument of destroying the relationship between man and God. But it's still, missions must be God-centered and not man-centered. So what is God's desire for us? So many times we can be easily become emotionally involved in the people that we are called to spread the gospel to. And what I'm saying by that is when you start getting to know people and you interact with people and you start loving those people, then it's easy to emotionally say, well, maybe it's not quite as important that they repent and turn from their old wicked way. Maybe we can just kind of come alongside them and pat them on the back and tell them, you know, they're okay. I think that's a danger that we can have. But God has a plan and a purpose, and it's not to let us remain in our sins. It is to change us from our estrangement and to bring us into fellowship with God. True history is His story. It's God's story. It's not man's story. Now, man is in God's story, but true history is God's story. And God's mission then is to redeem sinners who seek His salvation. So it's very interesting to me to look at the verse, and that's going to be kind of a theme verse today, is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to do what?
Observe all that I have commanded.
Yeah, observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatsoever I have commanded you. So what was the first thing that Jesus commanded the people to do? What was the first command He ever gave as He in His public ministry? Does anybody know?
Repent.
He said repent. And I think that's the message that we must have, is that we repent, ask people to change their minds about who God is, because so many times people don't really know who God is. So we must explain who God actually is and what His plan is for our lives. So God's mission is to redeem sinners who seek His salvation. Jesus' mission, then, is to conquer Satan through His death and resurrection. Sorry, I did have a verse that goes along with God's mission to redeem sinners who seek His salvation. The verse is simply John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's plan for mankind. He loved people so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus then, and I have a verse that goes with this, Jesus' mission is to conquer Satan through His death and resurrection. The verse goes like this: He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God came into the world, that He might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Sometimes we think that main purpose Jesus came for is to redeem sinners to God. That's the result of His destroying the works of the devil. How did He destroy the works of the devil? He destroyed the works of the devil by giving His life as a ransom for us. He destroyed the works. Satan thought his ultimate weapon was death. But that is now the Christian's ultimate weapon. Joseph Tson was a man, I'm hoping I pronounced that right, he was a Romanian man who was going through torture that his captors could not understand why he was able to stand up under their persecution. And he told them, and they hated him for it, he told them, your ultimate weapon is to kill me. My ultimate weapon is for you to kill me. Because if I die, all those sermons that are all out over Romania, people will start paying more attention to them because this man died for what he believed. And then it actually enhances the gospel. So remember that dying to ourself is destroying the works of the devil. What Jesus did was He died to destroy the works of the devil. We have God, we have the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit's mission then in our lives? John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you." Who's the Comforter? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. "But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus is saying, if I leave you, then I can send the Comforter. Jesus could only be at one place at one time on this earth, as I understand it. The Comforter can be in every single one of your hearts, even now, interpreting the Scripture into your hearts. And the Comforter is here. He says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of coming judgment. The Comforter is in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is there to reprove the world of that there is sin, wrong. There is righteousness, there is right. There is a coming judgment. And then when that happens, people will say, what must I do to be saved? And I think when that happens, people repent of their sins. But we must bring people to God and recognize what God's mission is here on this earth. The threefold nature of God, and I wish I would have done something a little bit different here. I wish I would have put love first. But God is a God of purpose. He has a plan. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is a God of purpose. He's also a God of love. He is interested in seeing us. He gave. The other week, we were back at camp, and God gave me this, I think God gave me this question to give to the boys. I said, so love, what is love like? Is love a choice or is it a feeling? And one of the boys said, that's random. Why do you ask that question? Well, really, is love a choice or is it a feeling? God chose to love us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because of God's choice to love us, then we actually have hope. We're not without hope and without God. We have hope when God loves. Not only that, when we have the love of God in our hearts, we can give other people hope as well. I don't always love because I feel like loving. How many of you always love because you feel like loving? I don't see any hands. I don't either. A lot of times it's because I make a choice to love, and then that feeling comes. Now, this is a little bit random as well, but we were talking to an Indian couple some years ago. We had befriended them, or they befriended us. They were Hindu, I believe. They weren't Christians. But they said, you Americans are different. You fall in love and then you get married. We have arranged marriages. We get married and then we fall in love. They choose to love and then they have the feeling. Okay, that was a little bit random. But it's giving the point, the idea that love is truly a choice. True, the love of God is a choice. God is a God of power. He's a God of love. He's a God of purpose. He's a God of power. He can come into our hearts, and he can give us the power to love people. We must catch God's vision. What is God's vision? His vision is to get his message across to a lost world. Now, I know that we're pilgrims and we're strangers, and we feel like pilgrims and strangers many times. But what can we do while we're pilgrims and strangers here on this earth? We're still going to be in the world, but not of the world. We're going to be here living, talking with people who don't know God. People who have questions. Karen listened to, and I did too, a Mormon man who is no longer Mormon. He's a Christian. He's a believer now. One of the things he said was he does not like to talk bad about his past fellow Mormon friends. He says they are lovely, kind, many times they're sincere people. He said the problem is they're deceived, sincere people. And the way to win them is not to tell them how stupid they are, how foolish their religion is. The way to win them is to treat them as people with respect, with care, with love, and then they'll start listening. His son became a Christian first, became a believer in Jesus first. Now they are, he said, what drew me was, this is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He said, what else would I want? As a man who wanted to know God, he wanted to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But there's so much deception. And what I discovered and listening to him was something that I find many times is in these mystery religions, what you know, what you see on the surface is it slowly, they have to go in steps. You get to a higher step and a higher step and a higher step. And in the beginning, they don't tell you that you will only reach this higher step if you come to full tithing, if you do your full tithe. If you don't quite have the money to do your partial, just do a partial tithe, you can't go into the next level. But once you get to the next, you have the full tithe, then you get to the next level. I mean, it is really strange. They even give you, not all the Mormons even know this, but as you get to a higher level, they give you certain garments of, how many of you knew that? They give you undergarments that you're supposed to wear all the time because that is now you're in the next level. That's not how God works. God doesn't work that way. He brings us into his kingdom as children, as babies. His vision is to get his message across to a lost world. We are ultimately commissioned by God to bring the message of Jesus to the world. So the message of Jesus is simply what we find in the New Testament. And what does Jesus do? He gives us his commands. Repent. And then the next one is, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later. Jesus is the way that we are reconciled to God. Because of what Jesus did, destroying the works of the devil, that is how we become reconciled to God. So we must catch God's vision. And then we also must understand Christ's vision. A Christ-centered vision is twofold. The first thing, by the way, I always feel like when I put some things like this out, it's not the final answers. There's probably a threefold vision of Jesus. There might be fourfold vision, but today I have a twofold vision. So that the good news of salvation through his death and resurrection, that is what, when we have a Christ-centered vision, everything needs to come back to Jesus. And at the end, Anthony, he just reaffirmed that fact, that when we start focusing on fundamentalism, if we start focusing on being against wokeism, if we start focusing on being against all these other things, we tend to forget the positiveness. It's if I want to study, if I want to know what's false, I need to study the true. So that I know what's true, then I know what's false. But don't study the false so much that you never know what the truth is. The second one is the Christ-centered vision is not just to know the good news of salvation through his death and resurrection. A Christ-centered vision is to go to the next step, a call to Christian discipleship. What is Christian discipleship? Christian discipleship is to actually become a learner. The word disciple has to do with learning and become a disciplined one. And that is what God calls us to. In one way, you could say it is another step. It is deeper steps. But for myself, I need to remember that an old saying goes through my mind, the lessons that you thought you already learned are some of the hardest lessons you will ever learn. The lessons that you thought you already had down pat are some of the hardest lessons that you might ever learn. I think it's both to help those who become discouraged and to help me to realize that, oh, I'm not quite where I thought I was. It keeps us from becoming proud. The larger the circle of our learning, the larger the circle of what we know and we don't know yet. Third thing, we must have God's mission, God's vision, but we must have Jesus' vision, and our mission must be Holy Spirit empowered. It's the Holy Spirit who prepares our hearts to receive God's message. And when you go out and you give the message of hope, the message of God to people, remember that it is actually, it's the Holy Spirit's work. To work in the hearts of those people to prepare the hearts. So many times I've heard examples of people who were prepared ahead of time for the message. And it wasn't, see, it's like this. Paul said, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. It is the kind of thing where you're not the only person involved in this whole mission endeavor. So it's the Holy Spirit who prepares our hearts to receive God's message, and it's the Holy Spirit who works to bring us to spiritual maturity. He's the one who works in our hearts and helps us to become disciples of Jesus and grows us in discipleship. So our mission must be Holy Spirit empowered as well. I meant to print out my notes, and I'm trying to find them on my phone because I had to pull them out on my phone instead of a printout. Because it's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to serve others, both physically and spiritually. I shouldn't give this example, but this past week we had a neighbor whose kitchen, she came to our house and she was in tears because she accidentally left on her water and flooded her kitchen with water. Well, the kitchen hasn't been cared for very much. She says, I take care of my dog very well. My dog is really important to me. That's fine. But when the dog tracks in whatever, then it becomes a bit muddy in the kitchen, especially if you flood your kitchen with water. And she also doesn't have hot water. And the first thing that we needed to do, Karen messaged me and said, in desperation, please come. We need to help Linda with her kitchen because it's flooded. Not only did the kitchen flood, but it went into the living room. It was not in my plans that day to take care of that kind of problem. But what is God telling us to do? Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And dear Karen went and washed dishes with cold water in a very, very, I can say unhealthy, I can say smelly. I can say about any adjective, environment. But God helped her do it with a smile. And I want to thank God for that. That's what we're here for. That's one of the things we're here for, is to actually get out there. The Holy Spirit empowers us to serve others both physically and spiritually. Our mission is to be workers in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we're first working in the kingdom of God and seeking his kingdom, we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow and what we're going to drink tomorrow, what we're going to, how we're going to be clothed tomorrow, because God promises if we're working in his kingdom and seeking first his kingdom, all these things are going to be taken care of. We do those things. We just do it. The church is the heart of God's kingdom on earth. And I think we need to remember that there's a scripture that says we are to do good first of all to the household of faith and then reach out beyond to other people. Missions is the task of the church as a whole. Our mission is to introduce people to God, to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we think that, well, this is like three different gods. No, it's not. It's one and the same. It is God the Father who created the world through Jesus Christ the Son, because it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God created the world through him, was the world made. And Jesus came so that he left so the Holy Spirit can come to be in our hearts. So our mission is to introduce people to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The threefold nature of man, then, is we are finite. And I think we go wrong so many times because we think that we can do things on our own. We think that we can do it by ourselves. The old saying is, pull ourselves up with our own bootstraps. Did you ever try to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? Well, it doesn't work very good. You just pull against yourself. We're finite. We are also responsible. God said to Eve, what did you do? Well, Satan deceived me. She didn't focus on her responsibility. Many times our problem is we don't think about how important our responsibility is. We are responsible people. We can't blame anybody else for our problems. We try to. We try many times, but we can't. And we're also relational. We need people around us. There again, it's a threesome, that there's a lot more to who we are than just finite, responsible, and relational. But I have those three here. We're finite, and I think you agree with that. We're responsible, and I think you agree with that. And we're relational. Effective mission action begins by building relationships, not programs. We can have programs all in place, but if we don't start speaking with the people around us and relating to the people around us and building relationships, our programs will just remain that. It's just some program, some plan. But the plan of action needs to be put into place. It needs to be carried out by working with people, relationships. The light that shines the farthest, shines the brightest at home. And sometimes I wonder, I know of a man who said he's not going to go in foreign missions because there's so much happening and so much need back home. But he also said, as you fulfill your mission at home, as you shine brightly at home, then you can also shine farther. So make sure that you're taking care of your home light before you reach out there and try to shine light somewhere else. Our families suffer, our children suffer, the people at home suffer if we always think out there rather than right where we are. I just like that little saying. I've had it for many years. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. Our mission then, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, simply goes like this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember, God is with us. He's promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Go ye therefore, there it is, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. May I ask you, I was going to get to this point earlier in the message, what are some of the all things that we should be teaching people? And just open it to you. What are some of the first things that come to your mind? Some of the all things that we should be teaching. Because it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Okay, the golden rule is one. Okay. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I like that one. Jesus is the Lord and King now, not in some future dispensation.
Forgiveness.
Teaching them forgiveness. I love that one. That's really important. Which is right in the Sermon on the Mount, that you resist not evil, but give to them that ask you. And others. Seeking first the kingdom of God. That's one of the all things. That's what Jesus said.
How to pray.
Jesus said, the disciples said, teach us to pray. And he gave them a simple, simple prayer to pray. Others.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Yes, I like that one. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Serving, or leading by serving. Yes. Yeah. That's what Jesus, it's an upside down kingdom. It's not getting to the top and then telling people what to do. Just as you, I did this as an exercise some years ago, many years ago, actually, looking at Jesus' commands. And one of the first ones, as we said before, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew and Mark both repeat that. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the, rather than the wide one. And that's also in Matthew. Jesus said, you should enter in at the straight, at the narrow gate, not at the wide one. And he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That was a command of Jesus, that we need to follow Jesus. And he said later, the next one, he said, rejoice when you are reviled and persecuted. So that's one of Jesus' commands. We need to teach people the all things is rejoice when you're reviled and persecuted. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's also scripture. Honor God's law until heaven and earth pass away. One jot and one tittle shall not pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. And Jesus was here to complete that law. And we actually can live free lives now because he came and destroyed the works of the devil. Another one. This is tough. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and serve God. That has to do with forgiveness. There's so many. I'm going to stop there. I just want to remind you, the scope of our mission is the world. The world passes away in lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. There are 6 billion people. I think there's still that many. Is it 7 now? I need to change that. So, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.